yes. Go ahead and enter into that presence right now, and let that presence enter into you and your circumstance. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. Yes. Oh, let's give him thanks for his presence, Lord. We never want to take you for granted, never want to take this kind of a touch for granted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it is a wonderful presence of God. And you may be seated. Jesus, in telling one of his lessons and parables, in Matthew 25, said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Everlasting and eternal. Jesus mentions eternity 2 times in this one verse. Eternal punishment and eternal life. Eternity is a certain reality. It's hard to get our hands and our brains and our temporal thinking around it, but it's a reality. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen," he's talking about his effort to think eternally. We're trying not to look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul calls the eternal the unseen. That's one of the reasons that it's so hard to prepare for it and think about it and make decisions based, because eternity is hard to see and hard to sense from our human perspective. To believe in eternity and to believe that it's coming and then to deal with that truth, we have the difficult task of dealing with the unseen, something that is very, very vague and intangible and almost unrealistic in this life. For me to preach this message on eternity and for you to stay focused on eternity, not necessarily my words, but on eternity, and to believe this message is nothing short of a challenge and can be difficult. There's no way that we can fully understand eternity, its length, its scope, what it feels like. But while we may not have the long of it or the full understanding, God has given us the short of it, the long and the short of eternity in his word. And then he has planted it in our hearts. Little 5-year-old daughter of a doctor, obstetrician, she answered the doorbell, and the person at the door wanted her daddy. And so they asked, "Is your daddy home?" And the little girl responded, "No, he's gone to the hospital. He's on an eternity case." She may have gotten her words confused, but in reality, her answer was accurate. Because every little baby, every human brought into this world is an eternity case. How long has it been since you have considered the long and far-reaching implications of the short-term decisions that you are making now in this life? God is giving this message this morning to APC because he wants you to begin or to return to living and thinking and deciding in light of eternity. There is only one mention of that particular word, eternity, in the Bible. It's in Isaiah 55 and 15. Now, its theme is throughout, but only one time. This is my interpretation. It's not God's. But it's almost as if that's saying to me, there's one shot at eternity. Because life is like a quick breath, the scripture says. It's like a vapor. He said it's like a passing shadow. And so we've got to make this one opportunity. Now, I know we have many days, but life in itself is a one-shot thing. How we decide now will be the decision for our eternity. They are inseparably linked. Eternity is a God-established truth. There's a reference to him being an everlasting God and an everlasting Father and an everlasting King. So you could interpret that to say he's the creator of eternity. He's the Father of eternity. He's the King of eternity. So eternity is a God-established truth. It's a God idea. And so whether humans believe in it or not, or whether we act on it or not today, or whether we live this life with it in our minds or not, the truth remains that eternity is a reality. Now, concepts like the size of the universe and eternity are really so big they're hard for us to understand. We really can't, with our human minds, comprehend the endlessness, the enormity. Have you ever tried to think back to the everlasting past? The God who has no beginnings. All I'm able to reason out is things that have beginnings. And then the same way with the end, the everlasting ends of time. It's hard to grasp it, but the Word of God in Ecclesiastes does say that God planted eternity in our hearts. In 3:11, he said he has set the world. And the interpretation, the translation is, he has planted eternity in our hearts. Some way, even though we can't comprehend it, we do get it. It's in there. Now, we can deny it and we can cover it up. But God wanted us to be aware of eternity and wanted us to be able to reason about it. So he inserted it, or he planted it, the writer said, in our hearts. Even people who have seemed to have had hardened hearts and convinced themselves that there is no God and there's nothing to the word of the Lord, oftentimes at the end of their life, they come to a different conclusion. Sometimes it's too late, sometimes not. But they come to that deeper knowledge from within that God planted there a long time ago. That there is an eternity, even if we don't know what is held there. The truth is today, folks, yes, we are going to live, and then if enough time goes by, we're going to die and we are going to be buried. Or we're going to be translated to be with the Lord. But right now, we are eternal beings. The grave is not the end of it. Our final breath in life is not the end of it. We are eternal beings now, and the reality of it we don't have, that still awaits us. But one day, everybody in this room is going to leave this world defined by time and enter into God's realm that we call eternity. And so, because it's so hard for human mind to grasp, this morning and any other time as you're going through life, you and I are going to have to listen with our spirit and listen with our heart. And it's necessary in order for us to get any benefit of any message or any scripture or that reality of eternity. I would offer to you that we need to ask the Holy Ghost to help us to grasp eternity as well as we'll be able to. And then I would also say, any truth that grips your heart, pause on it. Meditate on it. It's more than just an idea that came from a message like this or any other one, or more than just a random thought that came as you were reading Scripture. Because we have this challenge of humanity, but the fact that God planted eternity in our hearts, if we ask the Holy Ghost, He will help us. And then when He does prick our minds and our hearts, if you will stop to, don't rush past a thought of eternity or some connected reasoning about eternity. Don't rush past it. Don't listen or read just for mental understanding. I was challenged by this during the preparation of this message, and I began to set as one of my goals, I want to give as much information as possible. And that's not wrong, and the Lord didn't change that. But He did emphasize to me, not only should there be information, but there must be transformation of our thinking. There is so much that goes on around us in this life. In fact, what happens in a service is an illustration of life. There's so much that can go on around us that we can be very easily distracted, whether it be a church or any other place where others are. We are so easily distracted, and we begin to focus on other things that really, in the long run, they probably will not matter all that very much. But the author of Hebrews tells us, when he talks about eternity in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2, and he references eternal judgment, he said this is some of the elementary stages of Christianity or Christian teaching. Think about that for just a moment. Eternity is one of the basic or elementary truths that should be a part of our lives. If you consider what elementary means in our educational system, the elementary principles of learning or the education system are reading, writing, arithmetic. Those things that you absolutely need in order to move on to more specialized education or specialized subjects. Those are the foundation of our education. This is what eternity is, according to that author. Other things too, the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, he mentioned a few other things, and of eternal judgment. But this should not be something that's way out there somewhere. He said in our Christian life, this should be as elementary as reading and writing and arithmetic. In other words, it should be just as much used and just as much a part of our thinking and our mindset as any other subject of Scripture. Eternity should be like that in our minds. If we do not have eternity and judgment firmly established in our mindset, we will not be capable of building a proper life in Jesus Christ. It would be like trying to advance and try to go to college and not have reading, writing, and arithmetic down. Until we are able to I'm not talking about understanding all about eternity. I'm talking about living with a mindset of eternity and making our values and our choices and our decisions. So I appeal to everybody here, everybody on the web, consider eternity today. Be familiar with what God says and thinks about eternity in His Word. And most of all, live, decide, and behave with eternity in mind. Now, there's one thing that is consistently evident, that genuinely and regularly considering eternity is far from common. In fact, it is rare. And I'm talking about Christianity as a whole and this world as a whole. In many cases, there is at best a nonchalance about eternity, and at worst, an unbelief in an eternity of either heavenly blessing or torment in hell. Believers, and I will be quick to admit and add, preachers and leaders, have not continued to emphasize the truth as the early church did. Because the words eternity and judgment have been misinterpreted to mean judgmental, fire and brimstone, old-fashioned, irrelevant for our day. And so, people interpret it as anything from fantasy to out of date to condemnation to unnecessary, offensive, are not religiously correct. But there is an eternity. I believe that God in the Spirit right now has brought APC to a pause and a stop sign at an intersection of life today and in this message. Because He wants me and He wants you to consider your life in light of eternity. Because of the infinity or the endlessness, how long it is, of eternity. And then because of its finality, how suddenly and shortly and abruptly things change and stop with no more going back. Because of its infinity and because of its finality, it's important that we think about eternity. It's important that we live with an eternity awareness. Church, guest, it is important that we read about it, that we think about it, that we believe it, that we seriously consider it, and then live our life, make our decisions and our choices in light of the truth that every one of us have an eternity. And the truth is that in the now, we can and we must touch and affect our eternity. In the now, you are affecting your forever. Please let me keep your attention here. Other things are vying for it right now, but just bring it here. In the now, you are affecting your forever. Your daily choices, your daily routine decisions, you are affecting and determining your eternity. If you looked at the whole scope of life, and it might not be fair to just take the microcosm, the little micro part, a mini part of population and just only focus on APC. But population in total, it is shocking how many people base their lives on what is not eternal. Build their lives on everything from complete falsehoods to partial truth. And anything less than full truth is a setup for disaster. So much of our thinking and planning and prioritizing is about the here and now. And rightfully so. There must be thinking and planning for this life. That is not wrong. That's not what I am talking about today. But what is wrong is to seldom, if ever, perhaps never, think about eternity. Where will I spend it? How do I prepare for it? What do I need to do to change and be ready to step into eternity? Is what I am doing and what I'm interested in, what I'm spending my time on, going to really matter in eternity? And if it will matter, toward what eternity is it moving me? What living with eternity awareness would look like might be putting aside petty arguments, grudges, and unforgiveness that either isn't going to matter in this life later on or eternity, or could affect your eternity. What living with eternity looks like is realizing the damaging effects in this life and in eternity of sin or immorality. That questionable familiarity and relationship with someone other than your husband or your wife. Are those few images on the internet that are unclean or immoral? Are those things really worth your marriage, your life, your reputation, your eternity? Living with eternity in mind doesn't keep us from those temptations, but it helps us to respond in a God-honoring way and in a soul-saving way to anything, and I've just mentioned a couple of things. Living with eternity in mind means realizing that consistent secular, social, educational, or even employment interferences with your church attendance are not worth the placement that you have chosen for them above God and above His house. Realizing that the sacrifices of time and talent and finance for His kingdom will be worth it and will be of ultimate importance in that day. That may not be accepted by a peer group, but it is certainly acceptable as far as God is concerned. Living with eternity in mind means, and I've felt this so definitely and I felt it so recently, I had to scribble it into my notes, going ahead with that spiritual commitment that you have been a bit hesitant. You have wavered. You've been a bit hesitant about going further in that commitment or that calling or that spiritual dimension in God. Not because you do not love God and not because you do not want to serve Him, but the other things around in this life, the short-term things, have caused you to question. But if you look at that in light of eternity, that's exactly what God wants you to do. That is exactly the answer for your eternity. And that is, I'm decided I'm going to follow Him completely. I'm going to give Him my whole life. I'm going to give Him my whole substance, body, soul, and spirit, with all of my heart, with all of my soul. Hey, folks, that's more than just a neat scripture. God wants us to live that out. And that's what living with eternity in mind means. You see, what you think about eternity determines what you think about the present. Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, said this in so many words in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then, in other words, thinking about all these things that shall be dissolved. He'd already talked about the heavens and the earth and a great fire and the consuming of what we now know. He said, thinking about that, thinking about eternity, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation, the word there is behavior and lifestyle and godliness. In other words, align your present life considering where you will be in eternity. Looking far and hastening under the coming of the day of God. We don't have to fear the coming of the Lord. We don't have to fear the end of time. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, there's eternity again, Look for new heavens and a new earth, eternity thinking, wherein will dwell righteousness. When we start to believe the reality of the other side, we will start behaving differently on this side. I know that we must spend our time, our energy, our money, our strength, and our talent on this life, living in the now and preparing for this life and its future. But the truth and the reality is there could and there should be more priority on eternal things, more than on anything else. It's very easy to spend multiple hours daily and weekly in our employment or a business or a career and education. And as I said earlier, those things, many of them are necessary. But here's the catch. Then to spend a fraction of that amount of time, money, and commitment in areas that connect with our eternity. Things like His Word, prayer, presence of God and His house. It could be as simple as just taking a little log and a piece of paper and logging the hours of education and employment and recreation and any other things that you are committed to do. Log that and then log the times of prayer and the Word of God and the attendance of the house of God, times of fasting or any other spiritual commitment. It is so easy to think this life mainly and not to live within an awareness of eternity. Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 12. We will all face a day of judgment. Nobody is exempt. That day is fixed by God. It will come, and He establishes the basis. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We often ask the question, how's God going to judge this, and how's God going to judge that one, and how's God going to judge that circumstance? The simple answer is, He's going to judge it according to what He has said here. And when He said here, this life is temporal, and it doesn't deserve as much emphasis as your eternal, that's the basis of His judgment. We're all going to be judged, not by what we think. And we've all heard this, maybe sometimes said, well, I don't feel that that's all that necessary. We're not going to be judged by what we feel. We're going to be judged by what the Word of God. Nobody will bring their own standard to that day. The terms of God's judgment is firmly decided. In Hebrews, He called it eternal. And please hear me, church. His verdict is final. There's no appeals court. There's no second chance. All the choices and decisions from your life will then be final, eternally final. It should stir and shake us to consider these things. It need not scare us, it should stir us. We do not have to be afraid of this fundamental truth of eternity, that we will spend eternity somewhere, because of God's mercy. We can face this truth with confidence. His mercy that will forgive us and save us. His mercy that will inform us as He is doing this morning. His mercy that will help us to align and realign and correct anything that is wrong in our life. God is not desiring, nor should a pastor or a leader, nor should a parent or any other leader design or desire for there to be fear in our view of eternity. But there should be confidence. Yes, there is an eternity. And yes, I know what the Word of God says. And yes, I know that God is helping me to align my life according to His judgment and to His Word. And if we go with that confidence, knowing by His Word and His Spirit and what He has planted in our hearts according to Ecclesiastes, we can be assured that we are saved and we are ready. You know, the times I've been most fearful of exams are the times I was unprepared for them. Now, I've been a little shaky on just about every one. But I have to tell you, when we've gone into that classroom knowing we've studied and we have given diligent study, did we not feel better about that? There is a final exam coming. And how we think and how we conduct ourselves. And listen, folks, you know this. It's almost so simple I don't need to say it, but I feel to say it. It's not just a Sunday thing. Thinking with eternity awareness is Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And it's a 24/7. I encourage you today, do not be afraid or shaken. The more you prayerfully and carefully consider and respect and obey God's truth about eternity, through His Word and personal prayer, He's going to show you, hear me everybody, He's going to show you everything you need to know to become confident on that day and be ready to meet Him on that day. I would just lay this in your heart to consider. A few thoughts. First of all, God made you, and He made you to love you, and He wants you to love Him back. Secondly, now when you consider that and you start thinking about eternity, you say, He loves me. He wants me to be with Him in eternity. He doesn't want me to be in any place that would be difficult. He loves me. God loves you. Hell was not made for humanity, and hell was not made for anybody that's here that's going that way. God loves you. Secondly, you were created to last forever. You're going to live forever somewhere. Thirdly, God has prepared only two eternal places, heaven or hell. They're both real and literal places. Fourth, and this is key and important, you get to choose where you spend eternity. And as many things as our good parents get to decide for us, they can help us decide, but they don't decide. No other authority can decide for you. You decide where you will spend eternity. You won't accidentally find yourself in heaven or in hell. You'll be there because you chose through your life choices. And fifthly, there are no second chances to make your choice. Your choice has a time limit. You have your entire lifetime to make the decision, but then when time on earth is done, the opportunity is over. And we can't change our minds after death or after His coming. Nothing more matters than eternal realities. Now, I want to come right to where you are right now. You have thought about eternity, and I would concur with anybody that would say, that's good. You have intended previously to make preparation, and that's good. And on some occasions, you have even thought, this is the service, this is the time of my life, this is the day or the night. But I must quickly tell you, any and all of that is not enough. I would be much less than a pastor, a true pastor, or minister, or even a Christian or a friend, to say that thinking about it and intending to do it, and sometimes even getting so close to say, this is my time, is enough. I don't claim to know how close you are to eternity. But in light of eternity, I will say this very straightforwardly. You need to make the changes that need to be made today. Don't put eternity off until after the holidays. Don't wait for it to be a New Year's resolution. Eternity. And I feel it like it's a person standing behind me now with its hand and the small of my back just pushing me as if to say, you need to say this, Pastor. Eternity is presence. I feel the burden of the lost. I feel the weight and the burden of somebody that needs to make a decision other than you have made in other times. I don't know where you're headed in your career. I don't know where you're headed financially. I don't know where you're headed geographically or in your education or in a family or in your health or even in your calling in your ministry. But I do know you are headed for eternity. What action will you take? What will be your response? God has informed you of the reality and the truth of eternity, not just today, but He's done that today. Hear me, everybody, like we're sitting in two chairs in an office somewhere. Just as direct, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with it? Some may brashly ignore this message and ultimately the truth that you will spend eternity in either hell or heaven. Will you question with a somewhat skeptical view? Well, I'm not totally convinced as to whether there actually is eternity or heaven or hell. If somebody could just prove it to me. Will you hesitate and put off making the necessary changes even though you believe there is an eternity? And I sense that there are hearts here today that actually believe in every word that I have just spoken. But there's a question and there's a hesitancy. And there's a tendency to put off. Will you take a chance thinking I'll have another service, I'll have another opportunity? Thinking like, well, there's been other messages like this one preached and nothing has happened. Or will you do what the Apostle Peter said in another place in his book? Give diligence. Bend every effort. Use speed to make your calling and election sure. Will you, church member, guest, frequent attender, will you accept and believe God's word that there is a forever? There is eternal life. There is eternity. And that we must be righteous and we must be ready to enter His eternity. As we get ready to pray, and I already sense and know that the Holy Ghost is talking to sensitive hearts here and minds and spirits that are open to Him. But I lay into your spirit some things to consider for prayer. Pray to be able to think about and focus more clearly and frequently on eternity. Prepare for it in this prayer time, if needed, by repenting or rededicating. Or changing anything that needs to be changed. Or saying yes to what you have said no to. Or saying no to what you have said yes to. And then pray about others' eternity. That they will stop and that they will consider it. That they will make decisions that will change their eternity for the better. Pray about what you can do or what you can say to affect yours and others' eternity. Would you stand together, please? And would you just be very reverent if you want to bow your head to do that? It's not necessary, or close your eyes, or whatever it is, whatever you feel would be an appropriate posture of reverence to the Lord. And then I'm opening this altar and places of prayer. And you can make that place of prayer any place and any way that you desire to. A response, not to a message, but a response to eternity is what God is reaching for.